We are continuing this morning in our tutorial on prayer. We're letting the Lord as our King, who has us gathered at his feet. The disciples are gathered at his feet in the Sermon on the Mount. And as we know, Christ the King is teaching his people about citizenship in the kingdom. And we've spent some time going over that as we've looked into the Sermon on the Mount. And in this particular point in his sermon, he's teaching us on prayer, and already he has recalibrated our prayer life, right? He has taught us to focus in the proper place. We pray not toward men, but we pray toward God. We orient our prayers there, so we are not men pleasers, even in our prayer, but rather God pleasers. And then he reintroduced us to the one to whom we pray. And he taught us and is teaching us and training us, right? This is what he's doing, to see the one to whom we pray as Abba Father. As Calvin said, we mentioned last week, prayer is climbing up into our dad's lap that we might make our petitions known. And if it wasn't Calvin who said that, we would never utter those words those ways. But when Calvin does it, it seems okay. But Jesus himself does it as he teaches us to think of God as our Father. And so he reintroduces us to God. And as we pray, we are to see ourselves praying to our Father, and yet at the same time, to balance that with the fact that he is our Father who is in heaven, whose name is to be hallowed. And so we've been reoriented toward God and not toward men, and we've been reintroduced to our God as Abba Father who is in heaven. And then Jesus restructures our prayers, and we have been looking at that over the past couple weeks, right? He's training us in this template and this way to pray. He's taken us first and said, here's how you're to pray to your Father who is in heaven. Let this be your passion and your prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Lift your eyes up off of yourself. Lift your eyes up off of your troubles. And lift them up to the Lord, right? Calibrate your mind so that your passion is him and his glory and his kingdom and his purposes, right? Lift your eyes up there so that you might be able properly then to lower your eyes back to your problems and address them as they should be addressed. Take your eyes off the wind and the waves and look to the one who is in your boat. If you know he's there with you, you will be able then properly to address the wind and the waves. They're a problem. It's okay to come to the Lord with those, but not in panic, but rather seeing all of our problems, all of our issues, all of our being through the lens and through the priority of the hallowing of God's name, and the coming of his kingdom, and the accomplishing of his will both in heaven and on earth. And so now, these other petitions, right? The backside of the prayer, as now with the proper orientation, we come to deal with our daily needs, and so we look to the Lord to instruct us even here. And our text this morning is just verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And I want us to think, as we approach this particular petition in the prayer, I want us to think about three lessons, maybe, we might learn about our prayer life with regards to this business of our daily bread. First, and I want to preface all these with our being children of our Heavenly Father. Right? So as children of our Heavenly Father, let us take this lesson about prayer. Because that is the context of the prayer. It is in this context that Jesus challenges us to pray this way. So as children of our Heavenly Father, Jesus, I believe here, is teaching us that no need is too small to pray about. No need is too small to pray about. Think about the contrast in the prayer, the shift that's just taken place in this prayer. Our prayer life has been elevated in only a couple sentences, but again, Jesus doesn't tell us pray this. He says pray this way. And so we can fill in, right? We're allowed to elaborate on the hallowing of his name, and we're allowed to elaborate on the desire for the coming of his kingdom and the accomplishing of his will. And we're allowed to elaborate on the beauty of his being our Father and on the majesty of his dwelling in heaven. We're not limited to these words. But in these few phrases, in these few sentences, we have been elevated to unbelievable majesty, the majesty of his name, his transcendent glory, his amazing purposes, and transcendent power. And now, in just one phrase, we're lowered, we're brought right down to the most basic and fundamental, mundane, ordinary, right, non-spectacular needs that we have for bread. I mean, it's just an amazing shift and an amazing contrast from glory to the common, right? From the sacred right down to the secular, our need for bread. And so we pray for the mundane. And I guess the question I would ask as we think about no need being too small, we can come to our awesome Heavenly Father with a simple need. I guess the question I would throw out to you at this point in the sermon is, do you do that? Do you bring your most basic and common, mundane, unspectacular needs to the Lord in prayer? Prayers for food, our daily bread, shelter, clothing, safety, health, right? These are the common needs. We can fill more in here than just bread. Jesus is not saying the only need you can ever pray for is bread. No, he's saying these fundamental, primary needs are not too small for your Heavenly Father. Now in our reading of the law today, he said don't worry about those things. But that doesn't mean don't pray about them. That means don't run around pulling your hair out and getting all anxious about where you're going to get your food from. God cares about food. So the proper thing then, according to Jesus, is pray. Bring it to him. But again, my question to you is, do you do that? Do you come before God with common needs? Do you connect with this part of the Lord's Prayer? And I ask you this because I wonder if we are not really, we pray and we come to the Lord with needs, but only in our foxhole moments. Right? If we could just analyze American Christian prayer life, it would be mainly petition. Right? It would be mainly petition. And it would be mainly petitions that are about me or about my loved ones. So Jesus' first half of his prayer, I think we're weak on. We are not trained to have the beginning of our prayers be overwhelmed and oriented around him and the hallowing of his name and the coming of his kingdom, right? So we have a challenge there. But even if we could just get down to our petitions about ourselves and about our loved ones, are they about common, ordinary, mundane needs? Or are they only when we are in crisis? If we were starving, we would pray for our daily bread. And if a loved one was suffering, or if we were suffering, we would then pray for health. But are we praying, give us this day our daily bread? And if not, then why? And I have two thoughts on this. If we are not, if we can't resonate with this, we think we resonate with this. But then we have to ask, are we regularly praying for these common things? And if not, why? And I think there's two things, and you can analyze and think. Think about your own heart in this. First, perhaps we do not really think, nor do we believe that God cares about these things. We know the Bible says he cares, but we don't think, right? We think that these things are too mundane. God has bigger things to deal with and bigger things to worry about than the common everyday little things. Maybe a safe trip from point A to point B. Or my having a meal today, right? Or a pillow to lay my head on tonight, or whatever, keeping me healthy. Maybe we think that God has bigger, we should be praying for global things here. We've been trained to do that now, right? We should be praying for missionaries, to bother God with what seem to be trivial needs, common, ordinary things. Maybe we think God just, no, he's got bigger things to worry about. But I would argue that's slanderous. That's slanderous. It's a distorted view of God, twisting the idea of his transcendence to mean something that he doesn't want it to mean. When we pray to Abba Father, who is transcendent. There is no God like our God. He's seated high in the heavens, the Psalms tell us, right, in Psalm 113. And yet, this God who, there is none like him who is seated high in the heavens, is the same God that reaches into the ash heap and pulls up beggars and sits them with princes. God cares about the problems of the beggar. That's our God. And we got to be careful in some kind of false piety. I'm going to say, well, I'm not going to bother God with these trivial things in my life. There are bigger issues. We dishonor God when we do not bring to him our most basic and common needs. What did we learn in the reading of the law this morning? God cares about the nest of the sparrow. Right? God doesn't just care about global missions. He does. But God cares about the nest of the sparrow. God cares about the dress of the lilies of the field. Isn't that Jesus' point? If God cares for the clothing, the beauty, the dress of the lilies of the field, what makes you think he would not care about your clothing or your food or your shelter? It is slanderous to say about God that he has other things to worry about. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who performs his first miracle at a wedding, turning water into wine for celebration. To say God doesn't care about simple things, I would argue, is to slander him. It's Jesus who, when he has the group of 5,000, performs a miracle to feed them. He does not say to them, boys, we got bigger things to worry about. Don't come to me with all your whining about hunger. You go feed yourself another time. We got to get down to business and instruction here. He feeds them. And so perhaps we think God doesn't care about these things. But if we think that, we would never say it, but if we think it, then we've got to reckon with the God of the Bible, because that is not him. Or perhaps we know he cares about these things, but there's another reason why we might not pray the way Jesus tells us to pray, and that is we don't recognize our own need for these things. Right? We fail to recognize our own need for daily bread. Now, I know you could pass a test on this. If I ask you a question, do you need your daily bread? You would say, yes, I do. You get that. But it is very conceivable that in your heart you don't recognize your need for daily bread. That you have fallen into the trap of a modern, Western, prosperous American culture. That you have become, in some ways, a variation of Paul's audience in 1 Corinthians 4. You're rich. You're prosperous. Your tables will be full this afternoon when you go get something to eat. You'll have a house in which you can go home and be warm tonight, a nice comfy bed to lay in. You have no need. You're fine. And this is a very good possibility for why your prayer life stinks. Because you've bought into the modern lie that you're independent. You're self-sufficient. You're taking care. Why do I need to pray to God when we have airbags? Why do I need to pray for safe travel? I got airbags to protect me. I got good doctors to protect me. There's technology that will protect me. There's grocery stores that I can go and find plenty of food in. I have a job with a good salary. I've got what I need. I've got a good health care plan. These are all distractions for our prayer life. There's a reason why we don't resonate with Jesus' words to pray, give us this day our daily bread, because our needs don't feel pressing daily. But our prayer, maybe before this prayer then that Jesus gives us, is that our eyes might be open. That we would not buy the lie. But that we would know, if I'm going to eat today, it will only be because God feeds me. If I go to a warm house this evening, it will only be because God allows me to be in a warm house and sleep in a comfortable bed. And if I get back to Pine Bush today safely, it will only be because God has spared me. But we've got to train ourselves to think that way. Then Jesus' words, pray this way, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, will be a prayer that we pray continually, because I know and believe, one, he cares, and two, I need him. I need him. Blue Cross, Blue Shield is a gift from him. It's not the solution to the problem. He is the one I need, not airbags and grocery stores. So first, no concern is too small. Jesus humbles us here to pray for the most basic and common and ordinary needs. And so I challenge you to do it. Secondly, as children of our Heavenly Father, we must pray with an understanding of God's providence. It's interesting, we're praying to God to provide us our daily bread. But if I asked you over the past week, month, year, your life, how did you get your daily bread, we would list out all kinds of ordinary ways in which our daily bread was provided for us. Therefore, if we are to pray this way, we must pray with an understanding of the doctrine of providence. God is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And we read scriptures like Exodus 16, and God can provide in unbelievably miraculous ways. Israel has no food, and frankly, they had no way of providing, and God just rained it down from heaven. It just appeared, and they went out and collected manna. Unbelievable and miraculous provision by God. Or John 6, we've only got a few fish, we've only got a few loaves, and Jesus just miraculously provides for the needs of the 5,000. Yes, God can do that, no question, and has and does. I don't doubt that God works in miracles. But the ordinary, common, and yet equally powerful, majestic, and glorious way that God provides our daily bread is through providence, through farmers, and through rainstorms, and through fertilizer salesmen, and truck drivers, and grocery store clerks, and your jobs, and the paycheck you get, and through good cooks that put it on a table, and through all these ways God provides. And I think as Christians, we need to have, as we come to pray this prayer, an understanding of providence, that God provides for us in all these ways. God's not the backup plan if we have a drought. Then we need to go to God to provide us our daily bread. No, God provides the daily bread through the rainstorm and through the farmer and through the technology and the truck driver and the chef that prepares it or the cook that prepares it. God is providing. And we need to pray for eyes to see. One, our need, but two, the way in which God provides us our daily bread. James says in James 1:17, every good gift is from above. Every good gift is from above. Not just the miraculous ones, but the providential ones, the ones that come to you through ordinary means, which we can get so used to that we forget to give God thanks for it. There's a reason why we say grace before we eat our meal. And yet, it was prepared for us by someone else. And the food got to us by some human being. And yet, as we eat that meal, we give God praise for it. And that's a providential prayer. We recognize, Lord, you are the one who got it to me through all these means. Every good gift is from above. But as Doug Wilson once said, he said, praying three times a day at our meals and giving God thanks for that is like standing under a waterfall, like Niagara Falls of blessing, with a teaspoon. And sticking the teaspoon into the Niagara Falls of blessing and pulling the teaspoon out and saying, God, I thank you for this. And we do that. We give God thanks for our food when we have a meal. Like that, Lord, thank you for that. But it's the infinite number of other providential blessings that so many times just go blaring by us. And at lunchtime, we stick the teaspoon and go, thank you for this. And that's fine, do it. Thank him for that. But we need to have eyes that see God's work of providence every day and every moment. Every good gift is from above. And yet, there's a balance point to this, right? Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, you don't work, you don't eat. So on the one hand, we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And every good gift is from God from above. And yet, Paul says, you don't work, you don't eat. And so this does not mean when we pray to the Lord, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, that I can drop it into neutral and sit at the table and just wait for God to provide it either miraculously or providentially. But part of the providence is the hands he gave me, the gifts and abilities he gave me, the job opportunities he gave me, that I might go out and work and earn the money and put it on the table. So on the one hand, every good gift is from above, yet no work, no eat, but 1 Corinthians 4:7, what we read today in our New Testament reading, what do you have that you have not received? And if you've received it as a gift, why do you boast? Is it boast as if you did not receive it? See, this is the constant balance of providence that Jesus is calling us to, I think, in this prayer. Lord, you are the giver of these gifts, yet I know that means that I need to use the gifts you've given me to secure them. And yet as I do, and it sits on my table to eat, I cycle back around to recognize, Lord, it's all gift from you. Even my ability to work and do this is gift from you. I will not boast as if somehow I have gained this for myself. So, secondly, As children of our Heavenly Father, we must pray with an understanding of providence, and we must cultivate an understanding and appreciation for the providence of God, which brings us to the third and final point. As children of our Heavenly Father, we must pray regularly. The way that you and I are going to cultivate this understanding of providence is through regular prayer. Notice Jesus says, pray this way. God, give us this day our daily bread. So when do we pray this? Well, this day, right? I pray it for today, and then tomorrow I pray it again because I'm praying, Lord, give us this day. I'm like Israel in Exodus 16. You don't collect manna for tomorrow. You trust the Lord to provide for your needs today, sufficient for the day or the troubles of that day. That's in Matthew 6, our reading of the law. Don't worry. Come to the Lord. Today's troubles are enough, right? You need bread today. Let's not worry about tomorrow. Let's pray for God to give us our daily bread. Lord, give us this day. This prayer there's underneath it the idea that this is to be a regular thing, right? We are to constantly be praying, Lord, give us this day. And in this way, we will instill a mindset of providence. We must cultivate this in our lives. Jesus says when he's tempted, he's hungry, right? He'll eat soon, but he's tempted now, and Satan comes. He says, turn these stones into bread. And what does Jesus say to him? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, right? From the word of God. And we should take that to heart, right? Bread is not the most important thing. We are to live by the word of God. But the word of God here says, pray for bread. And so let us live by this. Let us learn to live by the word that proceeds from the mouth of Jesus. And the word that proceeds in this case for us is pray for your bread. Don't take your bread for granted, but daily come to him praying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And in doing this, we will cultivate in ourselves and instill in us by the Holy Spirit, no doubt, and by his grace, a reminder of our daily dependence on him, and we will not so easily buy the lie that comes to us when we put it in neutral from our culture that we can provide for ourselves and we have sustained ourselves. No, if we do this daily, coming to the Lord, praying that today, Lord, would you give me my daily bread today? Because without you, I'm not getting it. And would you get me home safely when I drive home today? Because if it's not for you, I'm not getting home safely. And would you provide for me tonight? And if we do this, as Jesus commands us to, with that mindset, then we will know our dependence on him. Sufficient for the day are its own troubles. Balance that with Jeremiah's understanding that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. So every morning, come with empty cup to your Heavenly Father who wants to fill it. Come to him every morning, recognizing and praying and announcing to him, Father, I am in need of your tender mercies today again. Please fill me. Provide my daily bread. Provide my safety. Provide my health today. We need to cultivate this. So I think we resonate with this part of the prayer, but I'm not sure we really do. We wait until the need is really poignant, and then we ask. But Jesus is challenging us to pray here for things we assume we'll have. But let us not assume. Let us recognize our dependence upon him and pray to him for these needs, to the honor and glory of his name. Let's pray. Father, we pray for our prayer lives. We pray for a mindset that would not receive the lie that our culture promotes. That, Father, we are able to sustain ourselves, that we have no fear for our daily bread or for a heating system or for a safe vehicle. Or Father, we want to confess our sin. And we want to admit, Lord, that we have depended upon ourselves and that we come to you as our backup plan. And Lord, we ask only that you would give us eyes and hearts that understand our desperate need every day. And so, Lord, we come to you knowing that your mercies are new every morning. We come humbly before you looking to be filled and looking to be provided for, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father who loves to hear his children come before him with all their needs. So give us confidence, we pray, Father, in you to provide. And give us the humility to admit how desperately we need you. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.